Where did you go? My son's wins. I wanna know, where did you go? My son's wins. I wanna know, Matthew, where did they go? Oh, 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 ayo. I wanna know, oh, 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 ayo, where did those sins ones go? Oh, 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 ayo, oh, 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 ayo, oh, 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 ayo. Where'd the Suns' wins go, man? They lost. They lost to the Pelicans tonight.
Oh, okay. I was like, how long is that going to go on for?
It's just the whole podcast. It's literally just me the whole time singing it.
Yeah, they'll be back. The Suns' wins will be back. That's a tough loss to swallow, but man, the Pels really wanted this one. They needed this one. They needed this win for sure. Suns had opportunities, obviously, tonight, but just want a drop for them.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you take a look back and you look at some opportunities and you kind of go over the possessions and you're like, oh, possession there, a shot there. You know, had Grayson Allen not gone 3 of 10 from beyond the arc and just hit a couple more. Had Kevin Durant not gone 8 of 22 and just hit a couple more. You start to play the what-if game. And it's one of those ones where you walk away and you could be a little bit frustrated as a Suns fan. But by virtue of the fact that the Phoenix Suns have defeated this New Orleans Pelicans team two out of the three times a season, while we're tied record-wise, we still hold the tiebreaker over them and remain in the sixth seed. So you go back, and I know that there's going to be moments that fans are going to be frustrated about tonight. We should have won this game. It would have been great to put together four consecutive wins in week 24, the second to last week of the regular season. But you know what? Big picture, I go back to this is a team that has the toughest 10-game schedule in the NBA and since 2015/16, and they are still 4-2 in their first six of those. So you got to kind of big picture it, I guess, to try to have some sanity.
Yeah, I think going 6-4 was kind of my expectations in the last 10 games. It would kind of give me hope. So whether that lands us in the seventh seed or sixth seed, it's up to the other teams really, but 6-4 is a good, I feel like, standing going into the playoffs behind like one of the hardest schedules to finish it out. So I think that the Suns had their opportunities tonight for sure. It's just crazy to me. We'll talk about it later, but how Beal is just insane in the fourth and they just went away from him. He didn't get another shot. And like the last 2.5 minutes, he had nothing.
Yeah. And
typical shit.
And this is definitely a team in the Pelicans that we played this past Monday and we defeated, and they were definitely ready and willing to stick it to the Suns. They definitely played the aggressor. Even though the Suns came out and played some great defense, they weren't hitting their shots. The Pelicans took advantage of that, got a lead that was too hard for the Suns to ultimately overcome. The Suns did overcome it, but only for a brief moment in time. So we'll talk about that and plenty more on this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. We thank you, whether you're joining us live, join us later, or listen to the pod. Thanks for spending some time with us. That's the best way to support the podcast. I'd ask you to subscribe, rate, review, and give us a thumbs up, but you're going to do ultimately what you're going to do. So you do what you want to do if you want to. And you're on Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, write a review if you want to. If you're on Spotify, if you want to, give us a 5-star review. If you're watching along live, it's not a matter of whether you want to or not. You have to give us a thumbs up and you have to subscribe. I don't know if that, like, we've built some code that actually makes that happen. So you better go ahead and click that thumbs up and click the subscribe to negate us from hacking your computer system anymore. So without further ado, Matthew, are you drinking anything tonight?
Not tonight.
Son of a bitch.
I had a pizza, though.
What kind of pizza did you have?
I had some mod pizza on the playback, watching the game with Suns Geek. I had it delivered here, ate it while we were watching. Muted myself in between for bites, but
I'm feeling good now. Blaze pizza yesterday, which is like mod pizza, right? And I was very disappointed because I put together what I thought was a delicious pizza. And when they delivered it, what we didn't realize is Ashley ordered half a pizza and I ordered the other half. We didn't get whole pizzas. We both got half pizzas and we both had our pizza and thought it was fucking delicious. And we only got half a pizza. So damn you, Blaze, for making that confusing on your app. It's mod pizza till I die. I got a Diet Coke. Pop them if you got them, Suns fans. Let's kick off this pod. drop their second to last game here at the Footprint Center in the regular season to the New Orleans Pelicans. Their first loss of the season to the Pelicans comes at kind of an inopportune time, but I feel like that this game wasn't nearly as important as the one was back on Monday. But it does bring me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I gotta ask. You were on playback.tv with Bright Side of the Sun for this game. It was you. It was Suns Geek. You guys were hanging out. How was it? What did I miss?
Well, I talked about the pizza part. That was very important.
Yes. Was that the whole thing?
We talked about food. Brandon was eating some chips.
What kind of chips?
Just tortilla chips. And we brought up the fact, like, you know, back in the day, it was only Doritos or nothing. That was it for me. But now I love a good chip with just salt on it, like just a regular tortilla chip. So we got that out of the way. What else you missed was a good group of people watching along with us and just understanding the fact that we still have the turnover issues here or there. We had a struggle with Nurkic there in the third quarter where everything kind of fell apart, where the ball went through him and you don't want to see that too much. And then a guy like Bradley Beal got hot and you kind of went away from him. So it was a really big bag of mixed feelings from the Suns fans watching along the game with us, mostly having to do with the fact that this team is there and they just still make those little mistakes, but the fight is still there with this team. So that's like the good takeaway I can take away from it, because you knew the Pelicans definitely wanted this win and they were going to leave without it. And you just had to kind of deal with that, I feel like.
Yeah, the Suns, unfortunately, there were some coaching hiccups, in my personal opinion, in this game. One of the adjustments that Willie Green, former member of the Phoenix Suns coaching staff back in the Monty Williams days, did, one of the adjustments that he made was, you know what, to start the second half, I'm pulling the big V. Jonas Valanciunas will not play in this second half. He will not start. He will not play. What we are going to do is we are going to go small ball and beat the Phoenix Suns with our athleticism, because with Zion Williamson being out there playing the point, we definitely have that size advantage. So why not take advantage? If we have size on the exterior, why do we need size on the interior? Let's beat the Suns with physicality on the perimeter and with speed and quickness on the interior. And unfortunately for the Suns, they put a lot of faith in to Yusuf Nurkic to be able to stop that physical presence. And unfortunately for Nurk, he didn't provide any solid offensive schemes, offensive sets, offensive physicality. You know, I mean, that's the trade-off, right? Like, if you are going to sit there and go, you know what, you're going to beat us on our defensive end with your quickness, but we're still going to try to deter some shots, maybe get a couple blocks. But our goal is, with Larry Nance playing the five, we're going to punish you on our offensive end. That didn't happen for the Suns. They didn't have the ability to go through Nurk and allow him to be effective, or he didn't allow himself to be effective. It wasn't them not allowing him to be. No, the Suns were not effective going to Nurk on the interior, and it really cost them, because that's where that the chance and the opportunity lied for Phoenix, and it just wasn't executed well. I saw somebody put we needed some more bowl in this game. Suns Fever 83 said that. And I don't disagree with that. Bol came in. He played 7 minutes and 28 seconds. He was one of two. He had that transition dunk, and that was kind of it. Now, granted, he was a -8 in that time frame, but that's right when the Pelicans put a run, and I wouldn't necessarily say it was because of Bol. I would have liked to see some Thad Young in this. I would like to see it say, hey, if you're going to go small ball against us, we're going to go small ball as well, because we've seen Thad Young play well against, in these small ball sets, with his hustle. And that's what you needed. The Suns were missing that little bit of extra hustle tonight. And unfortunately, it might've cost them a win.
Yeah, this is a perfect game for Thad. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh, we would have won with Thad. It's like, maybe he would have helped, but he is the type of guy to get in there and grab those big boards. Royce O'Neal did his best tonight in the fourth quarter. Those hustle rebounds that he had, he looked like Thad out there at times. So it's a perfect game for Thad to kind of like push himself in there, grab those big boards, make sure that he gives the Suns an extra possession here or there, because that's what he would have done tonight. But I'm not saying it's going to be a win, but you definitely want to see someone like that in this lineup. I also think that bowl, you know, getting the 7 minutes, it was kind of weird for me because I thought that with starting the fourth quarter, you would see him start, but he didn't start. He didn't even come into the game the rest of the game when he had the 7 minutes. And you can look at the stat line, the 2 points and the 2 rebounds, and be like, oh, he is a -8, so why would you play him? It's just like, well, you kind of need that extra oomph in this game. You have Booker and KD not able to hit big shots when they're open. Grayson Allen was missing. He missed three threes in a row, which is insane. So you just need that extra thing to come off the bench, which our bench had a hard time scoring. We didn't score double digits in this game. So it's one of those things where you can look at everything and be like, well, why do we lose the game? It's not because of Bull. It's not because of Thad. It's not because of anything else. But I feel like just those missed shots that the Suns had in this game, when it came down to hitting a big shot, they were unable to. So the Pels did, barely, I feel like, in this one, with Zion hitting some crucial lay-ins and some little floaters and stuff around the rim. But it just feels like this is a game still where if we look back and do it again, the Suns maybe can pull this one out and win it. It's just the shots did not go in.
Yeah, and those who are going to criticize Frank Vogel's coaching by not making that adjustment, you know, here's essentially my observation on that. What do we always talk about with the Suns? We want them to be a team that imposes their will, not adjust to the opposing team imposing their will, right? So if that's what Willie Green wants to do, is say, hey, we're going to go small ball, you got to kind of give Frank Vogel a little bit of credit for sticking to his guns. Like, no, we're going to impose our will with physicality. Did it work out? No. But I like that he is attempting to impose his will rather than trying to adjust to what the opposition is doing, because that's weak-minded, in my opinion. That's where a lot of the Suns teams in the past have had those troubles, where they see, you know, somebody trying to – I just always go back to 7 seconds or less, where it's like, okay, instead of us trying to impose our will and play our style of basketball and perfecting it, we're going to get Kurt Thomas, and we're going to try to have somebody who can body you on the interior. It's like, yeah, but you have like one of the greatest power forwards of all time in Tim Duncan, and we're going to throw Kurt Thomas at him. Great strategy there, guys. Didn't necessarily work. So yeah, we can be frustrated with the fact that we didn't necessarily see Thad Young, because we think, again, the grass is always greener, and that because Drew Eubanks and Yusuf Nurkic couldn't get it done tonight, that Thad Young could have. We'll never know. Drew Eubanks was a disappointment in some stretches in this game as well. He did get some of those calls against him when Zion was just simply tripping into the lane, and they were like, well, that's must be a foul on Drew Eubanks. So he didn't get the benefit of the whistle. But again, you know, I go back to the conversations that I've had going back almost a month ago when we acquired Thaddeus Young, and everyone's like, well, why is he not playing more? Frank Vogel is going to stick to his guns because he needs that confidence to occur in Drew Eubanks heading into the postseason, because he's going to be the primary backup. Do we all want Thaddeus Young to get a little bit more run? Absolutely. But at the same time, there's only a certain amount of guys who can play. And I know that I saw it on Twitter over the past couple days where, you know, the Suns win, they beat the Timberwolves, and people are still complaining that IT and Thad aren't playing enough. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, how is everybody's – I go back to this, why does everybody think that everybody has to play all the time? It's not how – it's like, do you watch basketball? Like, name one team that plays 15 players, that their 15th guy on the bench is getting meaningful minutes. It's like, we just beat – the Timberwolves 97-87, and people are like, yeah, but IT didn't play. The Suns suck. It's like, oh my God, dude. Sorry. Little rant there.
No, it's good. I mean, it's always the thing. The big thing with Thad too is we know what we have. So if we need to count on him in the playoffs, he'll be ready to go. He played his one and only game with the Suns this year, and it was great. It was awesome. It's exactly what we needed. So we know we have that. And like you said with Eubanks, he needs to gain that confidence, which you've seen bits and pieces of it kind of come back within the last month. And then you have the bad games, the 9 rebounds tonight. It was good, but just, you know, playing out of position, you can't really count on him on the pick and roll. You can't count on him to run the offense through him, or even Nurk tonight.
Can't count on him to screen.
Yeah, there's a whole lot you can't count on him to do. So for him to gain that confidence, you need that within the last stretch, and to put that in there, because I think you have that. And these games are still winnable without playing Thad. Like, we're not gonna we can win these games without Thad in Eubanks and yeah, some of these guys.
And again, I go back to, like, if we're not winning games because we're not playing Thad Young and IT, we have bigger problems than we're not playing Thad Young and IT. Just remember that, Suns fans. Yeah. You talked about Bradley Beal a little bit today, and I thought we'd kick off the pod with him.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley.
Bradley Beal game led the Phoenix Suns in scoring with 33 points. Very, very efficient. 13 of 19 from the field and 7 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 33 points, 5 assists. He had 3 total rebounds. He had the first 15 points for the Suns in the fourth quarter. When the Suns were trying to get back after going down and being down 7 in the fourth to start it off, it was Bradley Beal who set the tone, who was scoring at will. And as you mentioned, the Suns just kind of went away from him. So tell me what you saw from Bradley Beal kind of throughout the game, and then how, and why did they go away from him in the fourth? Was he tired?
I think he was tired. He was, but they kept pushing the ball his way. He was still bringing it up. After he did have the 15 points, I was saying on playback, I was like, you know what? If they can continue to go to him, that's great, because he's the only one that can score for us. But obviously, when he was bringing the ball up that time after he had the 15 points, he looked exhausted. And I'm like, ugh. And then he had that turnover. He was trying to move the ball over to Book. It was a turnover going the other way. So I'm like, okay, he looks dead tired, and they're still trying to force it to him. He had a break. He kind of went away from the ball, but they never went back to him. That's the frustrating part, especially when KD and Book are struggling so badly from the field. They can't get anything to go. They had 7 points combined in the fourth quarter, missing everything. KD absolutely missed everything. And you want to go back to Beal. Didn't happen. But in this kind of game, or even last game, you kind of saw like he's not going to take over the point guard responsibilities completely. He has to be more aggressive offensively, like they said, and he has been in the last 2 games. And I predicted before this game, I'm like, I think Bradley Beal's going to have the most points. He did. I thought this would be a crucial game to really see the Suns battle out with a physical team, just maybe make it more competitive towards the end, like other than the last 3 games, which were kind of blowouts, I feel like. And those are nice, but it would be kind of nice to see a game that, you know, they had to find their way, themselves back in after half, and they had to find themselves finding a leader that like bring them over the hump. And they found that in Beal tonight. It just didn't end up in a win, but they did find that, which was kind of nice to see. I think Beal, though, being tired is because this is the first time they really focused on him having the ball that much, and the defense playing so much on him and the doubles and stuff. That's more like Book. So this is a lot to adjust to, I feel like, in this game, but it's good for Beal to have this underneath him heading into the next few games.
It's a reminder that Bradley Beal does have this ability. And I know that it's been muted since he's joined the Suns, and that's okay. It's him, you know, I was critical of him a couple games ago, and it's just him reminding me that, you know, Bradley Beal is still a great scorer in this league. How bad is the music, by the way, coming through? Is it like really annoying?
No, I can't hear it.
It's like I have my earphone.
I can hear
on.
A little bit.
I can feel it. It's like pumping through my chest, dude. The
it's a
speakers
lot.
Here, man. It's fucking
there's crazy. No reason for it.
I know. Well, there's a million kids on the court shooting right now. That's why.
Oh, that's probably
like,
why. Yeah.
It's Sunday night, like shoot around or something. So, but again, Bradley Beal, I thought, you know, again, having his ability to score in that capacity is something that you need to have, and you need to know that he can do it. Did they go away from him? And was it the right thing to do? I don't know. You want to get Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker obviously involved late in the game and really have that three-headed monster, so it's hard to defend. But especially Kevin Durant was just out of sorts kind of throughout the night. And unfortunately, you know, his bad shooting and Grayson Allen, who I honestly believe, like, if Grayson Allen has a normal Grayson Allen game, they win this one on both ends of the floor because he wasn't necessarily good. So let's bring up GA.
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Allen.
Oh, Grayson, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
I don't know if he was fucking shit up or he got his shit fucked up tonight, but ends with a total of 11 points, 4 of 11 from the field, 3 of 10 from beyond the arc, had 5 total rebounds, only had 1 assist, had a couple steals, had 3 turnovers. But it was his lack of defense that really hurt the Suns in this one. His rotations were extremely poor. He's one of the reasons that CJ McCollum went off, led all scorers with 31 points. CJ McCollum was 7 of 12 from beyond the arc, and he had a lot of wide open looking threes because of the poor rotations on Grayson Allen. So tell me what you saw from GA in this one.
Yeah, I definitely saw that, but obviously offensively he struggled to hit those big shots like he normally does to take the lead or just get us the win. So him being off, you would think Booker or KD would step up in those situations. They didn't, so that's just a complete zero right there. But defensively, it's that thing where you – I think we're going to talk about this till the end of the playoffs, so the Suns are done this season, where how Grayson Allen really kind of just is compared out there on the defensive end and how he can compare himself to other guys coming off the bench like Royce O'Neal or even Josh Okogie. Jeez, it's been a while for that guy.
Josh Okogie? I had it in my notes last game. I forgot to bring it up. I'm like, hey, Josh Okogie, I remember him. Okogie. Yeah. I remember that guy. I used to play for the Suns.
Yeah, you're not. I don't want to bring these guys up and be like, hey, let's play them over them. But like defensively, it's a thing now. And I don't want that to happen. I just don't want it to be a discussion, but it is. And hopefully it doesn't play too much into his offense. Cause obviously in the back of his head, he's thinking that if I don't play good defensively, am I going to be out here for very much longer in the playoffs? Because that's going to be a thing, man, with this guard play and the way the CJ goes off. And especially the Pelicans fans, they love him, they hate him, they want to trade him, they don't with CJ McCollum. So a guy definitely like that is hit or miss. And the night he hit, it was probably just a game where he was on fire. But of course, it's a game where it's going to be focused in on how well Grayson Allen's playing defensively. So the rest of the four games are very crucial for Grayson Allen, man.
So here's what I saw from Grayson Allen tonight. And I know that people are going to look at that box score and they're going to go, okay, well, he poor shooting. Yeah, 0-5 from beyond the arc in the fourth quarter. Not normal GA. They're going to talk about how his defense was subpar. Not normal for GA. But here's the other side, okay? And this is what I noticed. He got matched up a lot on Zion. So it was Zion taking either Bradley Beal or they would run a switch and he'd get on Grayson Allen. And essentially what would happen is he'd kind of dictate the offense a little bit. And if he passed out and if he chose not to put his head down and just be a bull in a china shop running towards the cylinder, when he passed out, Beal and Allen would attempt to switch back into their normal base defense. And when they were doing so, they would lose CJ McCollum on the weak side. Two passes around, CJ McCollum's got a wide open shot. And to his credit, he was knocking them down tonight. So it might be a perception that GA had a horrible game defensively. He had a tough matchup tonight because of the way that the Pelicans were navigating the Suns defense and setting up the matchups that they want. They definitely saw something in the film that they looked at from this past Monday when the Suns handled them pretty easily and identified, hey, this is something that we can do tonight to try to take advantage of the Suns defensive sets. If we can get into these different looks, we can have better success or at least get open shots. And to their credit, they knocked them down. That second quarter when the Suns were outscored 37-24, and again, that's the quarter that really punched the Suns in the mouth. That's when CJ McCollum had 11 points. He was 3-4 from beyond the arc. Trey Murphy was 2-3 from beyond the arc. Jose Alvarado, he was 3-4 from beyond the arc. So they were getting into those matchups that they wanted, ended up shooting 8-13 from deep in that second quarter, 61.5%. And they shot 60% overall from the field, 14-23. It's because they were dictating those matchups. They weren't nearly as successful in that fourth quarter, but the Suns, you know, they give up only 19 points in the first quarter, 19 points. I tweeted out, I'm like, the Suns haven't given up a 30-point quarter in like 2.5 games. They instantly go and give up a 37-point quarter. So that one's on me, Suns fans.
We can blame you on that one. It's funny because like the Suns, everything else is looking kind of good in that in the third quarter, other than, you know, giving up all those points.
Turnovers.
The 37, but it was the turnovers. And it was kind of just the focus of slowing down the game and going to Nurk. And Nurk trying to prove a point where he had to try to score at the rim every time. It's like, pass the ball out, man. He had Royce, he had Grayson Allen, he had guys all over the place on the perimeter to pass it out to. Just decided not to. Decided to try
trying to get
himself.
Those foul calls.
I guess, but like, why the fuck would you want that? Like, why do you even want to deal with that? Like, right now, with the way the Suns are playing offensively with Beal and Book and KD and Allen just hitting on all cylinders at times, like, keep feeding that. You don't want it to be up on Nurk. We kind of dismissed Nurk this last four games or five games. Like, he's there doing his shit. He's grabbing the boards. He's moving the ball well. We're not like, hey, Let's focus on Nurk down low, get him some good shots. No, because it's painful to watch. It's what's really killing the Suns. This is the second game in the row they've done that. They try to go through Eubanks too. It always ends up in turnovers or really bad shot attempts. Like that's what we're seeing every time they do that, and it turns the game back over to the other team. So lay off of that. Call a timeout. Try it once maybe, or just don't even fucking try it. I don't know why they keep going back to that.
You know what time it is.
Trivia time.
What is Yusuf Nurkic's free throw percentage?
54%.
It's, I don't know. 4%. You're not that far off.
How much was it? Sorry, you
64.
64. Okay.
Nintendo 64. So that's why when I see Nurk down there with the ball and he's flailing and he's trying to get these calls, that's what goes in my head. It's, and I'm right there with you, Matthew, where it's like, how about you just dish the ball out and set up somebody who's a good shooter on your team rather than trying to get somebody into foul trouble? Because that's his end goal. Like, if I can get this guy into foul trouble, if I can get in their head, right? Like him trying to get in Draymond's head all those games ago. It's like, you know what? You're not even a great free throw shooter. John Tran in the chat, Nurktendo 64. That's what he is. He's a Nurktendo 64 in this, because even if you are to get that call that you're so desperately trying to achieve, but you're not getting, you're setting yourself up for bad possessions on the defensive end because you're sitting there flailing, you're on the ground. But even if you get to the line, you're 64%, man. Like, it's just, I don't know how we ended up.
But no, there's no angle he takes where you're going to confidently be like, okay, yeah, that's going in. No, it doesn't even matter. If he has a way to the rim and it looks like it's open, he hesitates. Someone comes over. There's always a pump fake in there for no fucking reason. So it slows down. No matter, like you said, the outcome, it slows down the game. It slows down any kind of momentum they had in that second quarter. It leads to three turnovers like he had. Like, and we never do this with Nurk. We accept everything that he is, and we know he can't lay the ball up. It's just one of his things. But if the Suns know that and he knows that, then why do they go through with it? And then they show Booker after they call a timeout finally, and they're down by like 10 points. Booker's pissed. It's like, probably because Nurk keeps hogging the ball down there. It's like, pass it back out. There is no reason for it. It's just the most bizarre thing.
It is bizarre, and I don't know why it continues to happen. But again, I guess that's just part of having Nurk. If you have him on the interior, know that he's not very technically sound, and it just be what it be. Be what it be.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. I know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
So, Matthew, you know how a few weeks ago I reached acceptance with the Phoenix Suns? You know, where it's like, you know, I just don't think that this team's it. And because of that, I have accepted that fact. And therefore, like, I'm less frustrated. I'm less grumpy when I watch the Suns. I've accepted who they are, right? I've accepted that we have KD stans who watch this podcast. And thank you for doing so. Every time you watch the podcast, you're supporting us and you're supporting the Phoenix Suns and you're supporting Kevin Durant. So I thank you for that. But I've reached this level of acceptance with the KD stans that no matter what we say, there'll be somebody who's critical of how we approach our observations on Kevin Durant. And to this, I say, I don't give a shit anymore. I'm going to keep it real and tell it like it is. And I feel like I always have, but I'm going to stop with the, oh, I love KD. I love him so much, you know, to try to appease them, because I do. And if you're a fan of this podcast and you've watched it for any time, you know that I definitely love Kevin Durant and I definitely enjoy seeing him play basketball. And I'm blessed to watch him play basketball for the Phoenix Suns. I absolutely love it. But my thing with Kevin Durant, and I think some of the realization is, it was like last game, there was a comment that somebody put in our YouTube chat. And they said, like, you didn't even talk about Devin Booker and his seven turnovers and how his shooting was. And I was just like, yeah, we did. And somebody replied, and it was spot on. It's like, listen, KD stands aren't happy unless Kevin Durant goes for 45 points and looks like the best player on the court, and then everybody bows their head to him. They don't care about if the Suns win or not. They care about whether or not Kevin Durant plays well. I care about whether the Suns win or not. I'm a Suns fan. This is a Suns podcast. So this is not a Kevin Durant jam session podcast. This is the Suns jam session podcast. So if Kevin Durant has a bad off night, guess what? Like every player in the NBA, he's going to have an off night. Tonight, Matthew was one of those off nights. 8 of 22 overall from the field, 3 of 8 from beyond the arc, 23 total points, 4 total assists, or I'm sorry, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. Didn't have any turnovers. Yay, Kevin Durant. Thank you forever so much. Didn't have any turnovers. But from a shooting standpoint, he was just off. I mean, I don't think there's any two ways about it. You know, it ends the fourth quarter 0 of 3, only has 2 points that he gained at the free throw line. That's not alpha stuff, right? At least not in this game. And that's okay. He had an off night. But that's what I've gained is acceptance. You know what? If you're KD stan again, thanks for watching. But I want the Suns to win. I don't need KD to always be the best player. I don't want him to be the best player on this team some nights. I want Devin Booker, the guy who's in his prime, to be the alpha so Kevin Durant can operate in the space that he is excellent at and be that the best beta in the league. Don't at me, but you will.
I'm glad you got that out of the way. Yeah, I saw the comment. It's the same guy that fucking hates me. So I think that what you're seeing from KD tonight obviously was a slump, and he could not make one shot. But the most frustrating part of the game was really in the fourth quarter when the ball was going to KD at the top of the key. They slowed things down. He was trying to maneuver within double teams and stuff from the key, which he hasn't done good all season with that shit. So the fact that the Suns were kind of cruising with Beal at the helm and he did get tired, to go to KD in that situation, you know that's not his strength. So that really killed our offense. What Nurk was doing this game with him kind of slowing things down in the post, and someone did put in the chat where we need some inside scoring too. We do, but we have cutters and slashers, guys that can get to the rim eventually if we can, you know, find them. And Nurk does a good job finding those guys too. But whatever Nurk was doing tonight, KD was doing up top and then on the side, on the elbow, all that stuff. So it was kind of frustrating to watch. And he had some shots, man, and he was just totally off tonight. He had some good looks in the fourth. He had some good looks in the first half. It just wasn't falling for him. So it's just an off night for him for sure. But the frustrating part, like I said, is just going to him to set up the offense. Just you have to go away from that. It has to be Beal, Book, or even Grayson Allen, who had a few turnovers tonight, but you just trust those guys more. They got to go away from it. I don't know if it's a thing because it's KD and he has the ball. It's like, go get it from him. Oh, I'm not going to get the ball from KD. Are you kidding me? Like, it's Kevin Durant. Like, I'm not going to take it away from him and set up this offense, but they need to do something with that, because when you're trying to look for some momentum, you can't go to that.
I think that it's okay to go to Durant, though. Like, I'm not opposed to that because he is Kevin Durant. Absolutely. That's another wrinkle in this offense. You can't be repetitive. You can't sit there and do the same thing over and over. So adding that wrinkle of some isolation, Kevin Durant, in the fourth quarter, that's not a bad thing to do. But I do think that on a night like tonight, where you know that his shot isn't working, that you try to free him up off ball versus trying to have him create on ball, because he got fucking owned by Zion in the fourth. His shit got deleted. That was the fifth block by Zion Williamson in the game. That's a career high for Zion. His previous career high was three. So he deleted the shit out of a Kevin Durant one. He was owning him on the defensive end too. And I will credit, and I will observe this on the Kevin Durant side, because I'm going to say the same thing for Devin Booker. The Pelicans did a really good job game planning defensively on KD and on Booker, because Booker scored 52 points twice on this team this season. And he ended with what, like 23, I think, 25. And Kevin Durant as well. They decided, you know what, we're going to put Zion on you. We're going to make it physical. We're going to bump you. We're going to push you off your spots and take you out of that shooter's rhythm, because that's the only way that you can stop Kevin Durant. There's two ways to stop Kevin Durant: with physicality and get him off of his spots just slightly, or if he stops himself. And tonight there was a little bit of a combination of both. They did a good game plan of taking him out of his rhythm, but he also was not finding the shot early. I was watching the pregame shoot around, right? Kevin Durant didn't spend as much time as he normally does out on the court, and I thought it was kind of interesting. He came out, he did his little stretching routine, but he wasn't out there nearly as long as he normally is. So he, too, is probably feeling the back end of a season that is, he's ready for the postseason to go, and he's just kind of taking it back a little bit. So that's my thought on that. You go to Devin Booker.
Big Dick Booker.
Back to like the KD stand thing, right? Here's what I'm saying, and here's what KD stands are hearing, right? So here's what I'm saying. Devin Booker tonight, like I said, he had 24 or 25 total points, much more efficient than KD. He shot 56.3% from the field. KD shot 36.4. He was 9 of 16. He had the 25. He was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Devin Booker was 0 of 6 from beyond the arc in this game. Okay? Horrible performance from him shooting-wise. Between Grayson Allen and him and Royce O'Neal missing like a couple, you really needed somebody to catch fire from beyond the arc. It was Bradley Beal, who was 7 of 8, but Booker couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from deep. He did have 7 assists, but he did also have those 4 turnovers. So the defensive game plans that the Pelicans were utilizing was also working on Booker. They were blitzing him at different times, and I thought that was a very interesting choice. Rather than blitzing him and doubling him consistently, they were throwing those different looks at him, which can take him out of his zone. So that's what I'm saying. KD Stanzel here. You fucking love Booker so much. You're a homer. You're not giving him as much shit as you did Kevin Durant. Whatever. That's what they hear.
They're going to hear what they want to hear, man. What did you think about the Dyson Daniels little scuffle with him? The pushback. I was hearing that EJ said he shouldn't have pushed back. Suns Geek said, yeah, maybe not. But I kind of liked it. We ended up getting the technical free throw because of Alvarado. But I didn't mind it. It's always going to be a scuffle with these two teams.
So here's what was interesting about that. Okay. So I'm sitting right next to Vicky Perez from Somos AZ. Follow them on Instagram. They do a great job of capturing a lot of game footage. And her and I were having a conversation because we were watching Jose Alvarado like the entire third quarter because he was out there stirring up shit, right? Like there was that one play where Kevin Durant got called for a foul or Herb Jones got called for a foul. And then Jose Alvarado goes over to Kevin Durant, starts getting up in his face, but not really getting up his face because he's like 2 feet tall, just looking up and talking shit. And literally the possession before that, Jose Alvarado just stood. There was a foul shot was occurring. Jose Alvarado was on the line for rebounding, which is weird. You don't put Jose Alvarado to try to go grab a rebound, but he was down there and he was just talking shit to Book the whole time. And then Book goes behind the 3-point line. And then Kevin Durant goes down there and he's yapping the whole time. He's yapping. So leading up to that, the Pelicans were utilizing Alvarado like they do as an irritant. And he was kind of getting frustrated with, or Devin Booker was getting kind of frustrated with him. And her and I were sitting there. It's like, something's about to pop off. I guarantee it. So the foul occurs where Devin Booker runs into Zion, which was a moving screen. And when they reviewed it, I don't know why they didn't call that a defensive foul on Zion versus an offensive foul on Devin Booker, because Zion was definitely moving. Booker ran into him. He kind of flails away. Booker looks away, and then Dyson Daniels pushes him in the lower of the back. So he turns around, he pushes him, and Alvarado comes over like a fucking bullet shot out of a gun to get into Booker's face again, like to get into his chest because he can't be face to face with him because he's like 4'9". But I think what occurred there was Booker was frustrated with the way that one the foul that occurred, and I think when the push happened, I think he probably thought it was Alvarado. So because he turned around and pushed back, he didn't look at Daniels and then push him. He got pushed, so he started pushing back and he turned. So I think he thought it was Jose Alvarado.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That's the way I saw it, because I saw everything leading up to it. And then there was a little scuffle a little bit later in the quarters, or in the fourth quarter, actually. I think was that wasn't Herb, was it Trey Murphy? So Trey Murphy was starting to get into it with Booker. So they were trying to play that mental game. They were being physical tonight. The Pelicans were playing physical, and the officials were letting them play physical, I feel. I feel like the Suns were getting called for a lot of little ticky-tack stuff, but what the Pelicans were doing was a lot more physical and weren't necessarily getting a call and whatever. That's just the way it is. But then I think that they started kind of letting them know that, and then Booker was kind of over it.
Yeah, I mean, he was over this game kind of early, I feel like, too. But I think that with Alvarado, like, that's the frustrating part, is like he's actually playing pretty good now offensively. He hits some big threes in this game. So when he does that and hits those big threes, it gets under your skin. You just want to beat this team even more. But then you look at the way Zion is on the bench, like after he like kind of has a takeover to put this team up 10, they want this. They want to kill the Suns team. They want everything to do with the Suns team in the playoffs.
They do not like the Suns.
Yeah, it just reminds me of this game, reminded me so much of that playoff series 2 years ago where we definitely struggled to win it in six, but they're a team you don't want to face, man, because of their physicality. I know we have the shooters and we did miss some big shots tonight, but the fact that they can get out under their skin and get in KD's face, and KD might be phased a little bit by it, kind of sucks. I want to see the response. That's why I wanted the physicality. That's why I wanted it to be a good game down to the wire to see how the Suns responded. Obviously not able to finish it off, but the way that they actually continue to find the good looks, move the ball and stuff, kind of makes me feel like maybe they didn't let it get into the head too much.
Yeah, and we know that the Suns, if you were to define them, it's a finesse team. And when you play against a physical team, and that's what the Pelicans were missing last time we played them, and the two times we played them this season, they weren't as physical as we thought that they would be or could be, or even should be for them, because that's what they have. They have a lot of long guys standing in the back, watching them get ready to come out. I was standing next to Tim Ring and we were talking, we're like, dude, this team is like tall and long, dude. Like, this is a tough team. That they're kind of like the Clippers, right? The Clippers are a team that also possess a lot of long wing players, and that can, if you allow them to be physical against you, that allows you to be taken out of your game. The finesse Suns are no match for some physical teams out there. So that's why this was a good test. So what else you got? What other notes do you have before we go to the subreddit?
Oh, nothing. Just really quick. Joyce says, laugh my ass off. Matthew Legit just said he trusts Grayson Allen more than run offense to Kevin Durant. I do. I trust Grayson Allen to bring the ball up and get the offensive started. I don't want Kevin Durant to do that. I don't like seeing that. I absolutely hate it. Hit him
point
on the elbow. Hit him where he's ready to play the ISO and get a good shot over a lesser defender, or maybe him getting to the rim or something. But I don't want him starting the offense. I hate it.
Yeah, it's not that. I think that's being misconstrued as I trust Grayson Allen more than I trust Kevin Durant. No, I trust, at least the way that I'm taking what you're saying and interpreting it, I trust Grayson Allen to initiate the offense more than Kevin Durant, because the best version of Kevin Durant is not the initiation of offense. The best version of Kevin Durant is the execution of offense. So, subreddit.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Oh, look at that. Look at
got
that.
Got my earpods in. Listen to my.
Look at that. Hey, y'all. Hey.
A little wild tonight.
Oh.
Look at that forehead. Look at that. Get a little forehead.
Get a little five head there.
Yeah, a little. From It's Always Sunny, you know, five head. Shout out to all the five heads out there. I am one. Thank God Nurkic might be the worst touch around the rim. You think? That was exactly what was happening in the second quarter. This team legit may not win another game the rest of this year. That was when the Suns were manhandling them until the second quarter.
Yeah.
Neat KD and Trey mic'd up for that. Laugh my ass off. So, yeah, that was when Trey Murphy and KD were kind of going at it, man. That was the start of it. That was in the second quarter, too, where Trey was in his face. I would love to hear that. Dear basketball gods, please do not let this team collapse in the second half. Signs Pels 12. I don't know what the Pels 12 is. Is that the 12th man or something?
That can't be.
No idea.
That can't be. It's not football.
That doesn't make any sense. Exactly. So, I don't know what that even means, but they did not collapse, so you got your wish, lucky bastards. Devin Booker's a real bitch. Yeah, he definitely is. Refs are smoking dick right now, but what else is new? Yeah.
Wow, that's aggressive.
What are they smoking? That's a good one. Booker may play lights out in New Orleans, but they forgot Jose owns the city of Phoenix.
Get out of here.
I don't think so at all.
Fucking Jose Alvarado, man.
That's the only reason I want the Suns to lose, because of that guy. All right. Last comment was, inject this shit into my veins, Z. There wasn't a lot of good comments out there. So
clearly, New Orleans, you let us down again.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Yeah, and I was reading them. I was reading them throughout the game too, and like, there's nothing
on playback.
Yeah, just kind of going in there.
Yeah, so I will say, you know, again, this is a shameless plug, but one thing that Matthew and I are doing is part, you know, obviously with our partnership with Bright Side of the Sun and SB Nation, we have access to playback.tv. So only a few more games left in the regular season. Once we hit the postseason, everything's nationally televised, and I think there's a lot of blackout restrictions, so we won't have the ability to do so. But if you want to hang out with myself and Matthew during games, it's something we're doing. Do you want to go to the game here on Tuesday?
Probably not going to be able to, but we'll see.
Okay. I'll put in for myself, because I definitely want to see the Clippers. So Matthew might be doing it on Tuesday, and then after that, we'll most likely be doing it as well. But go over there. It's playback.tv/brightsideofthesun. We have the information in the comments, whether you're listening or watching, and hang out with Matthew. He was hanging out with Suns Geek tonight and a bunch of Jamsters who were watching along. And if you do, you get some previews to some of the subreddit stuff. Cause I did the same thing when I was doing the playback.tv.
I was wondering if you did. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, so anything else? Should we go into the Jamsters?
No, you know what? So if we're playing on TNT in the playoffs, well, then we can't do it. Because yeah. I was listening on the training, but it wasn't for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So. Jamstar.
Jamstar of the game.
I don't know if this one's up for much debate, but I'll still ask the question because I'm a good guy and that's my job to do as the host or the host number one, host number three, whatever. I'll just shut up. Matthew Jamstar.
Let's go Beal.
Okay, good call. I'm going to have to agree with you there. Let's look at the notes here. Beal doesn't get it a ton. It's been since the Charlotte Hornets game. We both gave it to Beal. So that was quite some time ago. So next up, real quick, I do want to shout out some of the Jamsters. Seth says Beal Jamstar, as does Suns Fever 83. Jamstar to Nate Beal. Next up for the Suns, they play the Clipper in their home last home game of the regular season for the Suns. It's the first of two against the Clippers. You know, there was an interesting conversation I was having with some of the different media people here today, and the conversation has begun. Who do you want the Suns to play in the first round, right? We have four games left. We have two against the Clippers. We have one against the Kings. We have one against the Timberwolves. The regular season, the 2023-2024 regular season was over at that point. So I'll ask you that question, Matthew. Who do you want the Suns to play in the first round?
I kind of want OKC. And I know everyone keeps saying that they are, obviously, they have it over the Suns. They've won three. They're 3-0 against them this year. But there's something about being young and being in the playoffs where we have three guys, one that's won a championship, one that's been there, one that hasn't. That he's been in the playoffs in Beal. But we have more experience, and that should play over the Pelican or over the Thunder. I would take them, but I would take a lot of these teams. I just don't want – I've said this before. I don't want the Clippers, and I don't want the Mavericks. Those are the two teams I don't want, because I know with Kawhi back, if he is back healthy, which he didn't play today, I think if he's back and they're healthy, Kawhi, Paul George, and James Harden, that's a trio I don't want to face in the first round at all.
Understandable. So I don't have an answer, and this is what I was telling everybody today. I don't have an answer yet. I want to see how the Suns play the Clippers over these next two games, because the last time and the only time we saw the Clippers this season was the front end of January. And the front end of January was when the Clippers were at their peak, right? I think it was December and January. They ended up going like 25-3. But since then, I think with their win tonight, they're 19-13 in their last 32. So they've definitely come back down to earth, right? The defense isn't nearly as efficient. In fact, since February 1st, they have the third worst defensive rating in the league. So I don't know who the Clippers are yet. I know from afar, but I don't know in seeing them play the Suns. So I want to see who they are over these next two games against the Suns, knowing that the Suns, if they have the potential of playing the Clippers in the first round, could go vanilla in some aspect and not try to give away too many of their offensive and or defensive sets against them. But after Tuesday night, I will have my first kind of want and need. I'm with you. I don't think I want to play Dallas. Dallas, in just the way that Luka Doncic can do what he can do and the fact that they're rolling in the way that they are right now, I don't know if I necessarily want to play them. OKC, I'm fucking scared shitless of. And I agree with you that young and dumb that's real. You know, this is a team going to the playoffs. They've been in the play-in, but they haven't actually technically been in the playoffs yet. So this could be their first run at postseason, and there could be some opportunity there, right? You go back to when the Suns beat the Pelicans a few years ago, right? When the Suns beat the Pelicans, that was a team that was there. It was their first kind of big run with that team. And they played the Suns tough. We won in six. That could happen with OKC. But I haven't seen anything when we played OKC swept us this year. I haven't seen anything against OKC that we do positively. And for that reason, I don't want them. I'd rather have fucking Denver, which just feels weird to say. So, but that's of right now. I want to see how we play against the Clippers. Looking at the standings overall for the Suns right now, you know, again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, they did in losing this game not drop anywhere as it pertains to their overall seeding. They're still the sixth overall seed, tied with the Pelicans. They're two games behind Dallas. They're four games outside of the Clippers. So the only way to catch the Clippers potentially is to win out and they lose out. If you want to play the Clippers, most likely they're going to end up in the fourth slot. The Dallas Mavericks are currently in the fifth slot. You'd have to jump the Dallas Mavericks, and Mavericks are 9-1 in their last 10. They're a team that's just rolling right now. Oops.
I was like, are we looking at something?
Yeah, we're looking at something. Do you not see
it? Is it up there? No, I don't think so. Oh, I can't see it. I don't know if the Jamsters can.
Oh, yeah, I have the standings up.
I was like, oh, that's some nice nice bricks, dude.
Is it showing?
Not on my end. I don't see it, but
anybody see anything?
I mean, anybody, just look at this.
brick wall. I'm sharing my screen. Yeah. Oh, well. Well, I'll remove it.
We all know what it looks like, though, right?
Yeah, it's the
standard. You describe it so well.
Yeah, well, the Suns, here's the crazy thing, is the Suns and the Pelicans are both 8 games out of first place. The Lakers are 9. They're 9-1 in their last fucking 10. Thoughts on the Lakers right now?
I mean, that's what it's all about, man, turning it on right now. That's the way the NBA is. That's why I'm like, I want to play the Thunder because they had the head of steam, and they have, the last time we played them, we were shit, and we've looked so different the last 4 or 5 games where I can't really take too much from those 3 games we lost against them. So I'm just saying, you finish the season out strong like the Lakers, where they're going to their strong points in Anthony Davis and LeBron James, who's missed a few games, but those guys are turning it on, man. And that's what it's all about, because they have the star power. And that's why I don't want to play the Mavericks. That's why I don't want to play like the Lakers, because when they are going and when they are healthy, they're going to be unstoppable in a lot of these games. They can squeak it out in a 7-game series because they know how to slow it down, hit shots, stop it, make big stops when they need to. And that's the way the Suns have been playing too. So that's why the Lakers scare me as well.
Yeah. Obviously, the Lakers, you know, that's a play-in situation. So if the Suns end up in the play-in, if they don't play well these last 4 games, obviously that's where they could end up. And they can end up in L.A. if they stay hot, because their schedule isn't nearly as tough as the Suns. So we'll see. I mean, we have one more week of regular season basketball. Nothing is determined at this point. Nothing. I think the only thing that's determined is the fact that, like, the Boston Celtics are the 1 seed. I think that's it. Outside of that, it's free game out here in the NBA. So an exciting finish to the season lies ahead. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here? It's crazy. It's only 6:21. This is kind of nice.
No, nothing. I think, you know, enjoy the rest of the day, everybody. That's all I really got.
There you go. Well, a reminder, if you want to hang out with us, Bright Side of the Sun, playback.tv. That's the channel to hang out with. Make sure you don't subscribe, don't rate, don't review. You do you, boo. Just enjoy your life. That's all I can ask. Just be happy. Happiness is a choice, ladies and jamsters. So choose to be happy. We'll see you on Tuesday night after the Suns play the Clippers. I'll most likely be coming to you live from the Footprint Center once again, hoping that I have a little bit better reception. I think there's like a little internet cord here. I might bring an internet cord and hook it up to my computer. We'll try. I'm just trying different things. I brought my camera. You know, this isn't my phone. This is actually my camera. Yeah. So it's like, it's my camera.
It's like Blair Witch out there, dude. look, it's like black and white. It's like you can't even tell what's going on right now. You know, it's funny, as I was sitting there, and Palmer brought over an older couple or a couple. They sat next to me, and I don't know what happened. Maybe their seats were taken or something, but they sat next to me the whole time. And the poor lady sitting next to me, like, knocked over one of those screens. Like, she couldn't turn it back on. God. So I'm like, oh, you can just leave it. I'll fix it after. She's like, oh, who do you work for? I'm like, I don't know. Are you kicking me out?
Don't talk to me. I feel bad because a girl comes and she sits 2 down, and when she went to sit, she just missed because the seat folds up down here.
You can't see anything.
And you can't see, it's so dark.
You can't see shit in there.
This is media row. And so she just missed and like fell down. I felt bad.
Aw. You know what, dude? I seriously almost fall every time I'm in there. My balance is so bad. I trip over everything. Backpacks. You can't see whatever's on the floor.
I'm like tripping over the cords and whatnot.
Yeah. All the time.
But that's all we have on this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Matthew, tell them what to do.
Go home, love your family.
Peanut jungle.
Oh, peanut
hero bowl, baby.
Peanut jungle. Sounds good.